Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Giants are world champions.
Welcome to the Giants Insider Podcast on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco Giants Insider, Alex Pavlovich.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. I am coming to you from Denver, where the Giants just got swept again. They were 1-8 here this season, which is not good. And nothing has really been good for a couple weeks, but it is September and it is call-up time. And it is time for a lot of young guys to play, as we saw on Wednesday night. They had a bunch of rookies out there. That is kind of going to be part of the plan over the next 21 games. Bruce Bochy did tell us today, I mean, that he does feel a responsibility to try to put the best lineup out there every day, especially against contenders, and they're going to Milwaukee where those games will matter quite a bit for the Brewers. So that's part of this, but he said at some point in this month he's going to keep running the rookies out there more than he has. And one guy that we have seen a little bit over the last week and we'll see quite a bit over the next 3 weeks or so is Chris Shaw. He is today's guest. It has not been a great start for Chris. He has one hit, a very long home run here the other night, but for the most part, it's been a lot of strikeouts for him and really just falling behind in counts, and seems like he is down 0-2 pretty much every single time, and it hasn't gone very well. We talked about that a little bit here. He's very realistic about it. He knows that he strikes out too much, and I personally don't think it's a huge problem. I think this is a lineup that probably could use somebody who has 25, 30 homer power and maybe will strike out a lot. They have a lot of guys, or they have had a lot of guys who are contact guys and move the line guys in theory. So I think if Chris can figure it out, it is a nice addition to this lineup. And he's looked okay in left so far. He has looked more than comfortable out there and looks capable of playing that position. If you can do it at Coors Field, you can do it at AT&T Park. So it's been up and down for him to start, but certainly one of the more exciting prospects in their system and one of the more powerful kids that they've brought up in recent years. So it'll be fun to watch him, I think, in the next 3 weeks. He should start just about every day against right-handers or every single day against right-handers and get quite a few starts down the stretch. So here is a conversation with Chris kind of about his last week and some of his upbringing on the East Coast, where, as he mentioned, he didn't get to play a lot of baseball, and some of what he's seen as he's been in the majors. First, two things. As always, if you can subscribe, that helps us quite a bit. The plan in September is to have a bunch of young guys, but as always, we go year-round here, and we will have a lot in the off-season, which is coming up quickly. So subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. And second, thank you to Wendy's, our sponsor. Wendy's believes that fresh beef makes for a juicier hamburger. That's why they put fresh beef on every hamburger every day. Try it today on a Dave's Double and taste for yourself the difference fresh beef makes. Fresh beef is available in the contiguous U.S., Alaska, and Canada. For the Giants, it is on to Milwaukee. For you guys, here is Chris Shaw.
I can't wait to spend some quality time with my son fishing this year, teaching him about casting, how to choose bait, set the hook, and how to be safe on the water by always wearing a life jacket. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
All right, Chris Shaw, we are sitting in the dugout at Coors Field. It's pouring right now, so it's a good time to catch up. This actually reminds me of something. One of the questions I wanted to ask you, you grew up in Boston,
yeah,
and it's kind of rare for Northeast guys to be baseball players.
Right.
What was that experience like growing up? I mean, I assume you had a ton of snowouts and rainouts,
yeah,
and short seasons.
Yeah, well, I mean, high school baseball in Massachusetts, our tryouts are March 15th, first games like April 5th or so, and we play a 20-game schedule, and that's it. So hockey season for us, state tournament run up through, mid-February or so. So you're not really thinking about baseball until, start of March, even if that early. Whereas other places, they've probably played, 30 games already. So it's a little different. You kind of, behind the eight ball to a certain extent as far as, you know, development and whatnot, growing up in such a cold state. But I think that it really added to, you know, just my, you know, being an athlete, playing a bunch of different sports just because you can't play baseball year-round.
So I looked it up. You were, I think, 4-0 your senior year with a 1.2 ERA. So you won, like, four out of the 20 games.
Yeah. Yeah, they were running me out there every other day almost. So, but, yeah, I loved pitching. It was honestly one of my first loves in baseball was pitching. So I do miss that.
Do you still want to do it one day? Do you want to get on the big league mound and be the
position player? I think any
player
would be lying if they said they didn't want to, you know, be able to say that they've done that in a big league game. But, you know. Hopefully that circumstance doesn't come up. Yeah, it's not necessarily a good thing.
You mentioned hockey. That was a big part of your upbringing, wasn't it? Was there a point where you realized it was going to be baseball over hockey, or did that choice get made for you?
Yeah, I think when I was about a sophomore in high school, I started getting some, you know, pretty serious baseball looks. And the hockey route, you know, if you want to go play Division I hockey, you got to go play, you know, 2 years of juniors after you're done at high school. So by the time you get to college, you're, you know, a 21-year-old freshman, which, you know, that really didn't interest me very much. In my mind, it was, if I was going to go do that type of thing, you know, I would have preferred to, you know, sign out of high school and go, you know, play in the minor leagues. You know, it's essentially the same type of grind. But with hockey, you're just trying to get to college at that point. So it kind of just wasn't the lifestyle I wanted to pursue.
So I want to take you back to last week. You said Bobby came and met with you guys, and he kind of gave you a non-answer. Everybody got a yes or no. And I had heard that they're the same way, that they weren't sure there was going to be playing time up here for you. But then Thursday night, the McCutchen stuff starts happening. You're young. I know you're paying attention to Twitter and Instagram and all that. So what was that night like for you?
I mean, it was a, you know, bit of a whirlwind. I mean, it's just a – you know, you go into that meeting with the expectation you're going to get an answer one way or another. And we had known he was coming probably a week in advance. So that's a, you know, it's a really stressful week. It's something that you're thinking about at night. And, you know, you try not to take it into your games with you. But in the back of your mind, it's like, you know, they've probably already made up their mind as to if they're calling me up or not. So it was just, you know, eating at me a little bit in that way. And then to go into that night, have the meeting, and it's like, oh, they still don't have an answer. So it's, you know, you're still kind of on edge. And then I saw the McCutchen trade went through, and I was in the background, I was like, well, maybe that's, you know, what was causing them to have that yes or no approach to my meeting. And then, you know, ultimately, you know, 12 hours later, I found out I was coming up.
Are you refreshing Twitter, trying to see if the trade has gone? Because it was kind of sketchy on Thursday night. There was some, I mean, both teams were saying it's not done yet, even though a couple people had heard that it was.
We were playing, so I wasn't on my phone, obviously, but I was in the on-deck circle, actually, and a couple fans started yelling at me that McCutchen had gotten traded.
Those fans tweeted at me. They said they informed you.
Yeah, I heard them. I heard them yelling at me. So that's how I found out it went through. And but honestly, it was still just – I was in my head, I was like, well, that might not even matter still. It might just be a thing where, you know, they don't necessarily want to start my clock or whatever it might be. So I didn't have any, you know, full expectation that I was going to come up this year, but when I did get the news, it was just incredible.
Take me through that first start. I mean, you didn't outwardly show any nerves, and talking to you afterwards, it didn't seem like you were in awe of anything, but when you got out there for the first time, I mean, do you look up? Do you see that extra deck, or did you try to just keep it cool?
I don't know that I necessarily get out there and, you know, let nerves kind of, you know, control the way I go about my game. I just kind of try and, you know, stay focused. I think the biggest thing that alters for me in, you know, high-stress situations like that, like your first big league game, is just kind of being able to harness in on what my focus is. I'm usually really good at, you know, looking back on a game, recalling, you know, what happened, you know, how they pitched me. I literally finished that game, and I could not remember anything that happened that night minus hitting that sac fly. It was just a complete whirlwind, but it wasn't – you know, from the nerves, it was just from just being in, you know, shock of everything. Just so surreal that you dream your whole life about it and it happens, and then it's just like that, it had already happened. It's like, wow.
How do you approach this month without – you have a real opportunity here, and we saw the other day here the power, and if, you know, it's kind of one of those things where if you can keep doing that, I mean, you make a statement going into the offseason, but also don't want to put that pressure on yourself to go out and hit six home runs this month.
Right, and talking with Bobby about it, I mean – the one thing he did say to me in the meeting about if I were to come up is, you know, we don't expect you to go out there and put on a Superman cape. Go out there, play your game, and, you know, if, you know, there's times where, you know, underneath your jersey that Superman logo comes through every now and then, that's awesome, but don't go out there thinking that's the expectation. And that's kind of the way I'm looking at it. Like, I want to go out there and I want to kill it. Yeah. There's no doubt about that, but I'm not going into every game putting the pressure on myself. Like, if I don't go 3-for-4 tonight, I'm never going to have a job again. I mean, I'm looking at this as an invaluable opportunity to get, you know, my feet wet in the big leagues, you know, get big league experience, see what it's like day to day in the clubhouse, and ultimately just, you know, get it going for next year.
What has been the difference for you just being in the batter's box? From what I've seen, you've been very aggressive early in counts and a lot of foul balls early. You're falling behind 0-2 a lot early, but you know, the stuff, what you saw last night, it's a different level than maybe what you've and you have lined up against like three of the hardest throwers in the National League. So do you find yourself you're trying to be aggressive, but also that the stuff is maybe a tick up from what you've been used to?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I'm an aggressive hitter, and I think I always will be. That's not to say that the aggressiveness won't be toned down a little bit. Just in going back and looking at my bats last night, you know, there's a few instances where, you know, I went up with a plan looking for something, and, you know, early in the count, you know, I deviate from that plan for no reason really other than, you know, I'm trying to make something happen. But, yeah, I just, you know, the guys, you know, have really good location. They don't miss their spots. And, you know, if they do, I can't be fouling them off. I got to be ready to put that in play. So, you know, I'm going up there. I'm looking to hit something hard. I'm looking to be aggressive. But, you know, I think there is, you know, a threshold as far as what is too aggressive. And up here, they'll expose you.
You did the other day get an opportunity to jump on a slider and, and got that first home run. Well, first of all, running around the bases, I mean, was that another moment you blacked out, or do you remember that one?
So it kind of browned out, I guess you'd say. It wasn't a full black, but, you know, I knew I had my mom, my girlfriend here, and, you know, two of my best friends growing up, parents flew out for the series, so I knew they were in the stands, and, you know, just I knew how special a moment it was for them, and that's honestly what I was thinking about running the bases, just kind of, you know, how happy all my family, friends, and everyone back home were, because, you know, for me, those types of moments are more about everyone that's kind of gotten me to this point and kind of, you know, being able to give back to them. And that was the first thing I thought about, so that's kind of where my head was.
One thing we didn't ask you the other night, and I always love this, is what did the cell phone look like when you got back? I know you know, a lot of friends from home watching, probably even on the East Coast.
It was crazy. I think before my first game, I had, you know, upwards of 250 text messages and, you know, missed calls and everything. And then after the home run, it was like the same thing all over again. So I made sure I went back. I responded to everyone, though. So everyone should have gotten a response if they reached out to me. So, you know, it's incredible to see that outpouring of support.
And you did get the baseball, right? I think the bullpen made a trade.
Yep, got it in my locker right now. The guy who caught it actually DM'd me and, you know, said that, you know, I've got a fan for life now, and, you know, that was pretty special to hear coming from a Rockies fan. So, you know, I talked back with him and let him know if there's anything else I can do to help, you know, complete the trade on my end, just to have him let me know. But, yeah, they got the ball back for me, and that's awesome.
Were they just throwing signed baseballs up to the deck up there?
Yeah, I guess they just, the whole bullpen signed a few balls, and the guy was able to send it down, and I've got the ball in my locker right now.
One thing I noticed last night is they're shifting you already, and just – the classic shift for a power lefty. I mean, did that surprise you, or is that something you saw in the minors a lot?
It's weird if I don't get shifted now, because I think the game plan is, you know, they're going to come hard in, they're going to go soft away, and, you know, if I'm going to beat them, I got to beat them in the air, in their mind. So, you know, they're not really shifting me and then throwing me fastballs away. So, you know, for me, it's just got to be lock in on that ball in the inside corner that's the one I want to hit and not the one that's two balls off the plate that I'm going to foul off.
So you mentioned you're answering all these texts. I assume that took a lot of time
the
last couple of days. But what are you – this is a different experience for you. Yeah. I mean, you've been in camp, but you're on a big league road trip here, staying in nice hotels. You're going to fly in a private plane. You have already. I mean, what's this month going to be like from that respect?
Incredible. I mean, I'm staying in the Ritz. I've never stayed in a Ritz in my life. So it's pretty incredible to go from, you know, the days in to a five-star hotel like that. So just, you know, the chartered flights, the just the food, everything is it's nothing like I've ever experienced. I'm pretty excited for the rest of the month.
You do have a chance here to not just show what you can do on the field, but kind of soak in knowledge. And you've been in camp with these guys, so you know them. But what are you trying to get from that respect? And maybe are there any conversations you've had already with guys about the approach up here or pitchers or what you need to do?
Yeah, I think that just talking with Belt's a guy that I try to watch because he's hitting ahead of me in the order. He's a big lefty, and just kind of the way it is, I just figured that I'll probably pitch similarly to him. So I kind of pay attention to what he's doing, and I talk to him about what his approach is and what he looks for. And I'm really similar to him as far as approach goes, in the regard that once we start looking in, we kind of leave ourselves susceptible to other things. So just talking with him about what he looks for early in the count, he's, honestly, he just tries to stay on that left center gap, stay in the middle of the field, and that makes a lot of sense. And just watching him go about it, I mean, he doesn't chase out of the zone, he doesn't chase the borderline pitches, and I think for a guy like me, if I can get to that point, it'd be huge. So talking with him is awesome.
I know a lot of your homers in the minors this year were kind of to left center, right? That's kind of when you know you're going right.
Yeah, I mean, for me, when I know I'm going well and my swing is where it needs to be, I'm even taking a ball that's middle in and driving it to the left center part of the yard, just shows me that I'm staying on the inside part of the baseball and staying through, finishing my swing. So whenever I can get stuff in the air that way with backspin, I know I'm in a good spot.
My final one for you, I mean, does this month change your off season at all? Does it change what you were planning to do, or are you going back to the Boston area and relaxing a little bit?
I'll be in Boston for sure. I'll be heading back. I don't know what the off season itinerary is going to look like as far as baseball. They haven't really told me anything as far as winter ball or anything like that. But whenever I get a chance to go home, see family and friends, I don't waste that opportunity.
Is that something you want to do, winter ball, or is that? It's been a long year now.
Yeah, it's been a long year, but I can see the benefits for sure as far as go down, maybe have a focus on seeing lefties, and there's really no negatives to getting more reps in the outfield as well. So I wouldn't be opposed to it at all, but that's just not a conversation we've had yet.
We crashed into a wall here last night, so I think you're doing all right in left field. Chris, a start tonight on Wednesday, and then two more righties this weekend. So I guess we're going to be looking at the schedule from now on and going, where are the righties and the lefties in September. Thanks for the time, and welcome finally to the big leagues.
Yeah, thank you, Alex.
It is out of here in the center field, and this game is over.
Got him.
And that's a perfect game. Swing and a miss. The Giants are world champions.
The Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.